WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Ordinaires are a New York-based nine-piece band that came out of the art music scene of the early 80s. Their music combines the jazz, rock, and classical backgrounds of the members. It's an eclectic mix, but music critic Peter Watrous said that instead of being lightweight, most of the writing unhinges clichés, recombined familiar musical postures sound fresh again. Kurt Hoffman is the band's tenor saxophonist and one of its two main composers. He's featured on clarinet in this composition by fellow Ordinaire Fritz Van Orden. How the Ordinaires came together? Was it because of someone was looking for this unusual instrumentation, or was it the personalities that came together?
Well, a couple of different things. I guess first there was a band that preceded the Ordinaires, which was an attempt at a big band, which was consciously put together as a saxophone and guitar orchestra, and that led to the Ordinaires. We brought in violins instead of quite as many saxophones as we had, because it could, we could depict a lot of different kinds of music and say a lot of things with a more varied instrumentation. It was more or less consciously put together to be this sort of mini orchestra.
So now you find yourself writing for a band that has two saxophonists, two guitarists, two violinists, a cello,
bass and drums.
It's not your typical group to compose for. Let me ask you about a composition that I assume you wrote for the Ordinaires, Racing Thoughts.
Yeah, I wrote that. Well, obviously, it hinges on a quote from Jimi Hendrix at the very beginning, and the structure of it is actually more or less lifted from a symphony that Mozart wrote when he was about 13 years old. But of course, I've completely rewritten both motifs, both the motif and the structure, to produce something that's Ordinaires music.
Kind of fun to have this this like rock riff breaking into chamber music and then back again.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the psychedelic experience, which is something that's obviously been a major influence on rock. But I think that we're actually depicting it in more of a literal way by actually doing something that does the transforming and right before your eyes, you know, rather than producing the sort of music which might be the backdrop for a psychedelic experience, like, I don't know, traditional psychedelic music.
You use the word psychedelic. What's made you interested in the psychedelic music experience?
Well, I went through a period where I was experimenting with psychedelic drugs. Well, that's over now, but I still have lots of flashbacks. Yep, that's it. That's why I was interested, because I had a pretty good time and it was really interesting, and now I'm trying to tell the world about it in music.
Let me ask you about another composition on here.
Okay.
Brenda.
Uh-huh.
Which starts off kind of like pulse music in a way, and then, you know, different instruments keep getting added and then the pulse keeps changing.
Uh-huh.
It's a good piece.
Yeah, it's actually, I guess it's the earliest piece we ever did, and I guess because it's our earliest piece, you can kind of get a glimpse of what we were doing when we first started out, which was we were approaching the synthesis through something that was more like minimalism, which was both a technically easy way to approach arranged music, since we hadn't arranged music before, you know, and it's also forceful driving and relevant to the pop form.
Did the Ordinaires get together?
1982.
And what was happening around that time in the music places that you used to go to and play in?
Yeah, it was kind of a different scene than it is now. I think that one thing that was happening then that seemed interesting at the time, it still seems interesting to me in retrospect, doesn't seem to be happening now, were that people that were creating rock bands that were more like modernist sculpture exhibitions or something, I guess there were bands like Glenn Branca and Peter Gordon and Theoretical Girls who were sort of stepping outside the traditional rock myth or pop myth in order to make something that was both pop and some sort of an art statement, and that was certainly what I was interested in doing. And I think that's sort of the impulse that started the Ordinaires. And I think to a certain extent we're still a little bit like that. I don't think we're quite as self-conscious as a lot of the art bands of the, you know, late 70s, early 80s were. But in a way, I think that element makes us kind of stand out from the current crowd of bands, which I think where I think that the traditional rock myth has sort of resurfaced as something to be embraced once again, even if you do it in an inventive or alternative way.
What's made you think about that rock myth coming back again, even in art music?
Well, I think a lot of the sort of people that either were in bands in the late 80s or younger bands that are trying to create an interesting alternative to the mainstream, they kind of explode the traditional rock structure and sound, but, you know, it's really about, you know, pose and attitude and you know, of a certain sort. I guess I see a lot of bands that like Live Skull and Sonic Youth, who to a certain extent toe a certain line that I think enables a lot of, you know, kids that are just kind of into rock to be able to get into their music. I think that we step back from that line a bit, you know, at times. You know, it probably will alienate some people from us.
The last piece on the new album is Cashmere. It's a Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
What prompted you to do this?
Well, you know, you got to do covers, you know.